dangerously close. My guest today is Caden Douglas. Filmmaker Caden Douglas is serving up murder at the family Sunday dinner with his dark comedy horror film, Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, Frank. This grisly yet heartwarming film kicks off its festival run with a world premiere at Panic Fest in Kansas City on April 6th. That already happened, but there's more to come. Before heading to Phoenix Film Festival, the Calgary Underground Film Festival. I know that's coming up very, very soon, later in the month. And shit, this marks your feature film directorial debut. Before you were an actor, right? Mostly?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I started out as an actor. Now I'm on the other side of the camera, which is nice.
Yeah. So, man, I just watched your movie.
Oh, good.
I really enjoyed it. Before we started recording, actually, I was just telling you, I have a 1-year-old. So like my amount of time I get to watch movies is, and I love movies, you know? So it's kind of like a thing where, after I put my kid to bed, I have a choice. I could watch a TV show, or if I want to watch a movie, I can watch one half of it and then watch the other half the next night. But, yesterday I just lucked out, just so amazing, because I wanted to watch your film, and I had the link, you know, to pre-screening because I'm special, and I put my kid down for a nap. He slept long enough for me to watch your entire movie from beginning to end. I haven't had an experience like this, and I was just so, first of all, I want to say it, like I said, I loved it, but I was surprised in a lot of ways because the description, horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting something so thoughtful.
Nice.
Yeah. This is written and directed by you. It's not just directing it. These are all your words. This is all your dialogue and
all my words too. Yes.
There were moments in it where I was like, why am I feeling this right now? We can get into that later. I feel like I'm jumping way ahead, but I'm just gonna say there is a scene where there's a character. Is it Jim? Jim's wearing a Ninja Turtle outfit. He is locked in a bathroom with his husband. They're getting a divorce. His husband is drunk as shit. They're having an argument, there was like some of the dialogue in that. I'm like, this is making me think about my own relationships and how I treat people. So. Enough.
That's the best thing I've heard about this movie so far. That's fantastic.
That's enough of me babbling about. I'm just saying, like, I haven't actually gotten to sit down and watch a whole movie at once in a minute. So this is, this is really a genuine surprise and a treat and like a pleasurable thing to be like, I'm so glad that I get to sit down and watch a movie, and from start to finish, I was having a fun time. So, Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, Frank, a feel-good film about a family coming together. Okay, actually, in some ways, this movie is difficult to describe. I'm going to stop now, and I'm going to hand it over to you. In your words, what is this movie about?
I think a feel-good horror farce is kind of a good way to think about it. I love that you're like, it's feel good. It's a feel good film, and it made you, think about some things. It is also like an axe murder. There's also an axe murder in there. So I think that's pretty fun. But ultimately the movie's about a really suburban family, a mom, dad, and their two adult kids. And they end up murdering their asshole Uncle Frank, because it turns out he's blackmailing the mom and the dad. And then after they kind of all separately but together murder him, they quickly realize they are the last people on the planet who should commit a murder, and they're pretty inept at it. And as they're trying to get rid of the body, all of their family secrets come out. But by the end of it, like you kind of mentioned, they're more bonded, and they're a happier, more cohesive family after this kind of heinous act of violence. So, it's like the truth will set you free, and it'll bring you together, even if you're doing it over top of a dead body with an axe in it.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep saying nice things about this, by the way. So well casted, and a lot of the delivery is great. I mean, because a great script, great dialogue is one thing, but you gotta find the right people for it. And I feel
really sure.
I loved the guy that Uncle Frank, the piece of shit asshole uncle.
Juan Kuren, he's a fantastic actor. So we shot the movie in Canada. We shot it in Hamilton. So the bulk of the cast is Canadian. Juan Kuren is a fantastic actor. I don't know if you're familiar with the Stratford Shakespeare Festival. It's a very kind of famous Canadian theater festival, really well known. And they do a lot of Shakespeare, and Juan has worked there a ton. And you know, the I mean, for folks who haven't seen it, the idea is that Frank comes in, and what I was hoping with the audience would be like, God, I hate this guy. Oh wait, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I swear on this
You can say whatever
podcast?
the fuck you want in this
Great.
podcast,
Okay,
man.
great, great, great.
Fuck
So
Uncle Frank. When I was, man, I was so glad they killed him.
that was the goal, is that you know you'd love to hate him, but you'd also be like, I fucking wish this guy was dead.
Yeah.
And Juan was so great. He was just so great about it all, very evil. And yeah, he just has a great kind of like greasy energy, you know.
He really, really greasy energy. I keep jumping ahead, but since we're talking about Frank, there's a great scene. Like you said, you do love to hate him, and he's bringing a performance that's it's one of those things where you're like, you almost don't want him to die too quick because he's killing it and he's funny. But there's a good scene when he's talking to Jojo, who is the daughter, and she's like, hey, you're already gonna rip off my parents, blackmail for all this money. Can't we keep the house? And he's like, you think I want this fucking house? He's like, I'm taking it like out of spite, out of just because I am that of a, so yeah, well done.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah, it was funny. Like I in the when I was kind of creating the film and workshopping the story and everything, I really wanted to make sure that because I wanted you to be on the side of the family. I wanted you to be like, yeah, we should you should murder that guy.
Yeah.
So I really worked hard to make sure that the things that it felt justified, you know what I mean? That like it was like, yeah, that guy needs to fucking
Yeah.
go.
And like for me, someone who, like, I didn't come from a nuclear family type deal. I was like a kind of grew up in the more of like the what's you know like single parent, no siblings type lifestyle, which was honestly fun as hell because it was like I could eat dinner whenever I want. I could watch movies and whenever I want. Like it's like while I ate, that Sunday dinner, everyone sit down at the table stuff. And I remember having to go to like friends' houses and do that and be like, this so sucks. You have to do this every day? I hate your life. So, but that's neither here nor there. I bring that up just to ask, how much did you maybe like draw on your own life experiences to create, not just the script, but like the idea of what this family was like, what they're going through, all that stuff?
Yeah, I think like, you know, I do happen to have a mother and a father and a sister, and I am a brother, but it's certainly not like the movie's not really about my family as much as it is about where I grew. Like it's a little bit more inspired by where I grew up. So I grew up in like a kind of a pretty conservative part of Canada. And even though the movie is set in Idaho, they're very close by.
Yeah.
And I think more it was just like, I think in those kind of like colder middle of the country places, you know, a lot of times we're told to kind of sit down and not rock the boat and not stand out and be quiet about stuff. And I think sometimes that can cause a lot of distance in relationships and families and marriages and all those things. And so, you know, growing up queer in that setting, I was really worried about coming out. I was worried about my family was going to take it. And so I kind of created this gulf between myself and my family. And the movie is a little bit about exploring that kind of, it's a little bit about like what happens when those people aren't saying what they should be saying. And then for this family, it takes this like horrible murder for them to
Yeah.
finally say the things they should all be saying to each other. You know, and so like there's a few things in the movie that like are kind of pulled from my actual life. Like I made my mom, at the very end of the movie, there's like a sweatshirt where it's in puff paint with the world's number one mom. And
Yeah.
like I made that for my mom. So that's in there. And you know, I love Costco. There's a running joke about Costco. So I think there's like some
Yes.
suburban, you know, like I grew up in the suburbs in the sub cold the cold suburbs. So there's definitely parts of that in the movie for sure.
Actually, I'm glad you brought up the Costco joke because the first time the father says it, I think it may be Tupperware. I'm not entirely sure
Yeah.
or if it's wine,
It's
whatever it
wine,
is.
yeah.
But either the second or third time he says it, it really lands with me. I was like, okay, this is getting really fucking funny. This guy, because he's like, he can't turn down a sale at Costco.
No, that's the I don't know what, sometimes weird things tickle me and make me laugh, and just the idea of somebody being kind of obsessed with the deals at Costco.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing with the movie, right? Is there's this like crazy murder going on, and they're trying to get rid of the body, and they're chopping it, and meanwhile they're all continually distracted by the stupidest things, and one of those things is good bargains at Costco.
Sorry, my notes are not like my. I didn't take great notes. Well, I didn't take great notes partly because I was just sitting down and watching the movie and enjoying it, and not sitting down here
Oh, good.
writing down everything that I would need for an interview later. But can you please remind me the actor's name that plays the father?
Yeah, Enrico Colantoni. He's fantastic. You probably would have seen him on Veronica Mars, Galaxy Quest, Just Shoot Me. He was on Just Shoot Me. And then also on Flashpoint, which I think is a show. And then Station 11. He was just in Station 11. Enrico's like a great actor with a resume as long as my arm. So, and he's a super, super great guy to work with.
He has a great scene where after the murder he kind of like can't stop giggling. I kind of like, but I want to bring up this just you brought it to mind when you were saying I've never been to Canada, but it looks cold. But I know, and I've been to cold places, and it gets cold here. But the movie does a great job of conveying that it is winter. It's cold as shit, and you wouldn't want to be outside. And I love that the dad is wearing shorts and sandals with socks throughout the entire film, no matter what, like no matter like because he goes outside frequently and never puts on pants or shoes.
Yep, that's actually very me. When I was in university in Calgary, in the dead of winter, I would wear Birkenstocks with wool socks and shorts, and because in my youth I was like, I'm so cool, and now I'm like, I would be in a full parka. But yeah, I think in all of those cold places, people would like, you just kind of get used to it, so you wear whatever you want to wear.
Oh
You'll see
yeah.
people in shorts in Canada all 12 months of the year.
I have to admit that I am a year-round shorts guy.
Yeah.
There's a temperature that it drops below where I will switch to pants. One of my favorite Onion articles is a picture of a guy that looks exactly like me, and it says that climate change is like decreasing the population of year-round shorts guys or year-round cargo shorts guys are like running out of habitat. And, I don't know. It's the dark humor, but hey, I guess we were talking. When in the beginning we were saying like you were doing a lot of acting before you kind of. So speaking of writing the script, which I was saying that I love the dialogue, what was the transformation like for you going from actor to writer slash director? Like it seems like a big jump, or was it
No,
kind of a
yeah, no, it's interesting about that is like I wrote like when I was younger, I wrote a lot, and I think then I really focused on acting for a long time, and acting's like a pretty like selfish, you have to be pretty selfish and pretty driven and pretty focused. And I think also too, like in my experience, now we're living in the age of the hyphenate where they're like there's writers, director, producers, and everybody's kind of doing all these hats. And when I was a bit younger, that wasn't really a thing, you know what I mean? And then I came moved to LA and to kind of pursue acting. And I had been writing throughout like here and there, but nothing, not taking it super seriously. But then I think, everybody moves to LA for one thing and then something else happens. It's, I think, the kind of LA story. Everybody I know here has moved here for one reason and then something's shifted. And I got into a writer's lab kind of right when I got here. And then I wrote my first screenplay, and it ended up having like quite a bit of success. It never ended up getting made, but it got super, super close to getting made in kind of like a pretty big way. And that was a big mental shift for me of, and I realized that I started spending all of my energy writing and trying to make stuff, and I got less and less interested in being in front of the camera. And then at a certain point, I was just like, I just don't feel like I want to hustle that way anymore, and I want to hustle for this. And also too, probably, like, if I'm being honest, my ego is just so big that like I want to be in control of everything, not just one tiny part of it. And so getting to be behind the camera, and I could joke, I don't really think my ego is that big. I think more what it is, it's like I get a great deal of joy and artistic satisfaction watching setting up the playground for people to play in. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing better than being like, I think you're gonna be great, and I think this is gonna be great, putting those people together and then watching them play and being amazed by what they're capable of. So I think, and I also think too, like, you don't really get to like have, truthfully though, you don't really get to have much of a say as an actor. You're the last person invited to the party and you're the first person to leave. And I kind of wanted to make work because I want to say some stuff about the world and say some stuff about, the human experience. And you don't really get a huge opportunity to do that in acting as much as you do if you're writing and directing.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying as a director, like it's okay. Yeah, I see the negative connotation of the word egotistical, because you would, often use that as like describing like Elon Musk, like a person who is a piece of shit, and you're like, because he's an egotistical piece of shit. But I'm sorry if if you like Elon, but.
I do. Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah, that's
No,
fine.
I've got to run a thing on this podcast where I don't let a single episode go by where I don't say one jab at Elon Musk.
Oh man, I
It's
think
not,
of it
even
like,
on purpose. It's just he keeps himself on the news constantly.
yeah, well, I also like, I thought he was going to be a good guy. Like, remember, like 10 years ago when it
It was
was,
a big old trick.
yeah. And you, I remember thinking, like, this guy's going to, like, he's going to do some good things. And then now he's just such an asshat.
He's like, I'm gonna make electric cars. We're gonna go to the moon. I was like, cool. Then he's like, psych, I'm gonna buy Twitter and repost Nazis. And I was like, oh.
And build those tunnels under Las Vegas that you're like, what? None of it makes sense. Anyway,
But what I was saying, as a director, I don't think having ego is a negative trait. I mean, that's, because there's a vision. It's especially if you wrote it yourself. It's there's a vision that's coming out of your head that, that's like the de definition of ego. That's in no way, I think, a negative aspect. I just wanted to kind of point it at, just to buttress your statement without you having to say
Yeah, no,
it.
for sure. I think you do have to have like a confidence to be like, this is the vision. This is what we're going for. Here's the tone. Here, all that stuff. And you've seen the movie, so you kind of know like there's a pretty heavy visual style in that the house looks like a, it's all wallpaper. It's all wild. There's like it's pattern on pattern. There's all this stuff. That's very me. And you have to have the confidence to get a bunch of people that you have to be like, look, this is what we're going to make, and here we
Oh,
go.
yeah.
Everybody has to get on board. So,
I had a specific question. We could go straight to that because you did just bring up the house. Now, I thought about this a few times over. Like, I was like, how am I going to ask this question? For first of all, I am no expert on set design. And although, I mean, oftentimes set design is something that I do find like amazing, and when films, when it really stands out in this film, the set design really stands out. However, although I'm not a expert in set design, I would consider myself, I have a PhD in vibes.
okay, yeah.
So, and so, okay, this is, you know what, can I just tell you how it made me feel? And then you
Yes,
tell me if that's
please.
okay, if that has, if it even makes sense. But
Yeah.
I had a feeling, it was in my head, and this is the best way I was able to verbalize it. It gave me this feeling that I remembered from when I was a kid, and I got into a lot of older Gen X bands like Sonic Youth and Sebadoh, and it used to give me this feeling of like nostalgia for a time that I never really experienced. It was for older kids, and people that were older than me, they lived during that time, but their music spoke to me, and it and the house feels like, to me, like the kind of house that those, it feels like that's Kurt Cobain's parents' house in a way. Does that make sense? Like,
Totally.
and I don't know if that works in relation to what you were going for, but that's just what I say. Like, that's just vibes, baby. And like, that's what, you made a piece of art, and it made me feel a certain way. And I'm sure a lot of people did, watch that, and they didn't think of Sonic Youth. But
No, I love that though. No, that's totally the vibe, right? Is that it's also supposed to be that, the mom in the movie, Mandy Cohen plays the mom. She's also so fantastic.
she's great.
She's stuck in the past, right? She's kind of stuck with the idea that when the kids were little, and she's refused to kind of like move on with the times. And subsequently, the house is also stuck in the past. So that's why, it feels vintage. It feels kind of like like late night, like early 90s, mid 90s.
Yeah.
It was what we were going for. But they also like, so they built that house, which is, I'll tell you a little story about the house because it's kind of interesting. When initially we were looking to shoot, we were trying to find, we talked about maybe building the house, like building the set. And it would have been, because you know, it's like a small budget film. It would have been the entire budget of the whole film. But then our production designer, like 4 weeks before we started shooting, and then we started, you know, and then we started looking for an actual house to shoot in. But then 4 weeks before we started shooting, our production designer called and was like, "Hey, I've got a movie coming in after you guys to the studio. They have to build a house. You guys have really similar vibes, like in your lookbooks and your the vibe that you're going for. Could you guys split the cost?" And so we ended up sharing it with this other movie, but because our movie was shooting first, I got to design the whole house and like build the layout and all of that stuff. So it's built specifically for our film, like the layout and everything. But
Yeah.
then it's been shared, and then now since our movie shot there, that other movie shot, and then they've used it in every other movie. Like at one point, it was a burnt out alley or something that they've switched it into. So anyway, kind of
Cool.
fun because we got to do it specifically for ours.
Talk about multi-hyphenate, man. Actor slash writer slash director slash architect
Oh my God.
slash interior decorator. Where the fuck did you find all that kitsch to like to just the so. For everyone listening, if you haven't been to this film festival and seen it, this house is filled with shit that I mean, like I don't know how else to put it. You know, like stuff.
Tchotchkes and crap. Yeah, totally.
You know, home sweet home. Like, you know, I don't. I'm just making that up, but you know what I mean. Like
No, it's totally. No, our.
macrame.
Yeah, there's some macrame. There's a big crab. There's a big wooden carved crab that I love. No, our production design team kind of like, you know, I sent over a bunch of photos, kind of gave the look that we wanted, and then they filled that place with a ton of stuff. The kitchen, which is like, you know, all wood panel and that old blue oven stove. They ripped out of a house, like a house that was getting destroyed, and they put it in. And then actually my mom came to set because it's like an old 50s aquamarine stovetop. My mom came to visit and she was like, "That is the stove that I grew up with." She was like, "Where did you find that? Because that is the exact one that I had in my kitchen when I was a kid." So that was fun.
Also, like when earlier when you said building a playground, so you know,
Yeah,
as a
yeah.
director, you built a playground for the actors to explore and create and be hilarious and sometimes be dramatic and maybe even to a certain extent, like there's some somberness. There's some moments where I'm like, this is making me sad. You know, like I thought this was a horror comedy, not a horror saddie. Anyway, but the point is, you got like in the parlance of you of saying building a playground. And there's one thing as a kid I used to love to do, which would be to build something and then to break it. And that's what you got
Yeah.
to do. There's a, I'm telling you, man, the murder of Frank. Possibly my favorite scene in the movie. And you got to destroy all the stuff that you built. You got to destroy most of it, it seemed like.
Yeah.
What were you going for in that scene? It's a long scene.
Yep.
What were you going for in that scene? And is there any kind of like maybe subtext that I may possibly I missed? Because every family member has a hand in this death.
Yeah. So the goal was just that like they each are responsible in their own way for killing him. I don't know. I will say I would like to be like clever enough to be like, yes, there was a ton of subtext in this scene. In other scenes, there's subtext. This one's not. This one's just like him getting the shit kicked out of him in different ways. But you know, like I think they're all killing him how they would. Like Jolene is the daughter. She's the most kind of methodical. So she poisons him. You know, dad doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. So he strangles him with a belt. Mom hits him over the head with a lap, then lamp, and then pushes him down the stairs. And then Jim, the son, who's like a conflict avoider, accidentally stabs him. And then accidentally stabs him over and over again. No, it was a super, super fun day to shoot that. We did all of that on one day because we couldn't have, we had like all the stunts had to be basically in that one day. And then the guy, for the folks who haven't seen the movie, the kind of like not the climax of the murder, but the big set piece of the murder is he falls backwards down this like very tall, steep set of stairs. And Bart, who did the stairfall, our oh my gosh, stunt guy, He did it the first time, you know. And if you've ever seen somebody fall downstairs in real life,
Oh
like
yeah. Oh
in front
yeah.
of you, it's terrifying.
It kills
So
people.
yeah. And like he just did it, and it's so fast. And you know, the first time he did it, he was like, "We're gonna do it 50% speed." And he did it. And I was like, if that is 50%, I don't know what the fuck 100% is, because that was scary. So then he did it. And then we had a bit of a technical difficulty. And I was like, fuck, we can't use it. And which I was like, I'm trying to rewrite the movie in my head, being like, okay, how can we do this without this? And then he came up to me and he was like, no, man, I can go again. I'll do it again. I can do it again. And I was like, what? Which was crazy. And then, yeah. And then also, it was just super fun to like watch Juan, who plays Frank, destroy the house and break all the dishes and smash everything and knock everything over and crack it all. And it was just, you know, throughout the
And it
parts
just
of.
keeps going and going and going. It's one of the longest murders I've ever seen in a film.
I don't know. I just thought it would be funny if it was endless. And then at the very end, you know, he gets a pie in the face accidentally and then drown. And then the thing that he actually ends up killing him is that he drowns in pie.
They slowly drowns in a pie. And so like part of the murder too is just negligent, them letting him drown in pie juice or whatever. Going back to your point too, like because it's not a stunt driven film, but there is a big stunt because I have a few friends that are stuntmen, and throwing yourself down a flight of stairs, that's a big flight of stairs, facing away from the stairs, so a back fall, that's pretty fucking gnarly, man. And it's cool that because you could have cut that a lot of different ways or not shown the whole stunt. And it was I like that that was you start to finish, you see it happen.
That one take. You know what's wild that I learned that I had never thought about, because when I was watching part two, first of all, like you write something into a script, right? And then you're like, that'll be fun to do. And then somebody standing at the top of the stairs kind of risking their life, and you're like, this movie's so stupid. Like, why? This is not worth your life, man. Like, don't do it. But what was really cool was Bart, like for like half an hour before he did it, he asked to be in a room by himself quietly and silently to prepare. And like watching him kind of work up the nerves to do it, because what he also told me afterwards was like, it's not the like the physical act of throwing yourself down a set of stairs. It's the, you have to like turn off your mammalian brain, right? You have to like psych yourself. You have to psych yourself up to do something that your body instinctually knows is bad for you. And that's why you really have to ramp up to it. So he was amazing though, man. He was so great. And then afterwards he was like, yeah, if like you want to submit to the stunt awards or anything, I'd love to get it. And I was like, yeah, dude, we will for sure submit to there's stunt awards in Canada. So I was like, yeah, for sure we'll
Oh,
do that.
great.
Yeah, because it's amazing. He goes, you know, ass over tea kettle. He goes head backwards. He does a full like 360 over his head.
And I have a full understanding of the buildup because I have thrown my body down stairs, well, over stairs. So, but I get from years and years of skateboarding and stuff, and like
Right, right, right.
when I was much younger, I don't, this is not the kind of, nowadays my skateboarding is cruising around doing a kickflip or something, and that was a good day. But when I was 18, it wasn't skating if I couldn't get hurt doing what I set out to do. And then the thing was, yeah, exactly what you said about turning off your brain, because everything that I was going to do, I knew I could do. Like physically, all of that was trained into me from years and years and years of skateboarding. But when you roll up to a big set of stairs and you know that you have to land on the ground down below, you can't think. If you're thinking about it, you're gonna fuck up. The more you
Yeah,
think,
totally.
thinking gets you hurt. So I could see like totally like doing a stunt like that, because I'm sure he's a trained stunt man. He knows what he's doing. But yeah, you sit there and you think about it and you do something weird. You move your shoulder, you do something stupid, and then that's it. Broken neck.
Well, what else? You know what else is kind of funny about it is because the way that it worked, this is all because you know this is the first time I'd ever directed a stunt, and not that I like directed it, but you know I had to our stunt coordinator direct like arranged it all, and I tried to make sure that we got it the right way. But at the end of it, you know, Bart falls down the stairs, lands on the ground, and then nobody can move, and the medic has to go over and check in, and then I call cut. But the second when he did it the second time, I was so blown away by what he had done that I just stood in front of the monitor. kind of breathing for like a really long time. And then my husband, Mike, who was one of the producers, came over and was like, now everyone is waiting for you. And I was like, oh shit. Because in my head, I was just like, is he okay? I was just waiting to like for him to lift it to say he's okay. But you know, he's such a pro. He just laid there for like a minute while I dicked around not knowing what to do. Anyway, he's a great guy.
I know we can't talk about stunts all day. It's just that I have such an appreciation for stunt work, and I just love watching the people in stunt work doing their craft, you know, and especially like, you know, like you're like what you just did. Like when you're there in person and you really get to see someone pull off a dope stunt, it's just like awe-inspiring. But like I said, this is not a stunt-driven film. This is a dialogue-driven film. And
Totally.
I had a question, man. This might sound like a silly question because look, I've never written a screenplay. So maybe it will just be a silly question. I don't care. I want to know the answer. When you're coming up with these complex back and forths, especially like the scene I brought up earlier in the bathroom. What's it? It's Jim, and his husband's name is
Pete.
Pete. So yeah, and
Ships of
Pete's
Pete.
yeah. And Pete's like he shows up as a comedically goofy character because he shows up with a handle of booze. He's fucked up. He's you know he's a problem. But then it becomes like a touching scene, the back and forth. I'm just curious, like in your process, sitting there writing that, like, you know, first it's an argument, then it's a discussion, and then it's, you know, moving towards like people understanding each other. How does that work in your mind? I mean, are you just kind of like in your mind, like imagining? Because I do this here. I just want to say, like, this is, I think everyone can kind of like understand this. Oftentimes when I'm trying to go to sleep, I start replaying an argument in my head that I could have won. Is it anything like that?
And sometimes those arguments are from like 20 years ago or 10 years ago that you're like, if I'd said this. I do the opposite sometimes. I plan out the argument that I think is going to happen. If you're like, okay, I think this person's going to say this thing to me. And when they say this thing to me, I'm going to say this thing back to them. And then inevitably that never happens, but you spent 45 minutes working that out. I think like in that scene in particular, there's a little bit of, truth from relation, like from my marriage in there. There's some, not like the whole thing, but like there's things I've said or things we've said to each other kind of over the course of the long, we've been together for a super long time. But I think this is the nice thing actually about coming from an acting background is I think actors can make really great writers and often really do make really great writers because I think actors know like the intention and wanting something and how scenes kind of function, how scenes come to life. And so I think one of the benefits of coming from an acting standpoint is you have an ability to write scenes that feel like they've got forward motion because you know kind of how that functions. But like all that stuff is it is intentional. I think there's always a thing with writing, and maybe this sounds so too hooky boogie, but you set the intention of what you want the scene to be about and you do it, and then sometimes there's just a thing that comes through you that you're not even aware of. I don't know if you've ever seen like sitting out Sarah Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love?
I've never seen that, but I like that phrase. I use it a lot, even though I don't know what it means.
She's what Gilbert, I think it's Sarah. Anyways, she has this great thing about how like she does this talk where she talks about and I'm not, by no way am I saying that I'm a genius because absolutely I'm not, but she talks about the idea that in ancient times, genius was an entity that lived in the walls, and you were a vessel, and the genius would come and move through you, and then that was it. And then in the Enlightenment, we moved genius into the person, to the actual person. So you are a genius, not that you kind of have a genius. And I think that I really like that thinking because I feel like when you're writing, you kind of sit down and sometimes some stuff comes to you and flows through you. And then you look back and you're like, oh man, I didn't even know I did that. And other times nothing comes and you have no inspiration. And that's also part of the process. So I think a lot of it is just kind of doing the work of writing. And sometimes writing means sitting in front of your laptop for several hours, not writing anything, just being present to the idea, you know? But I'm glad you got that out of the scene because that was the intention. The idea is that like the idea is that that's how the scene functions, you know, the structure of it.
And no, and you did answer my question, and I hope that in some way everyone can find their own version of what I got from it. And I'll just take an example from my life. And this is something that it just didn't occur to me until now. As far as like, right, I've done a lot of songwriting, a lot of writing lyrics, and a lot of the best stuff that I have ever written was things that, I don't know if this will sound to you like I'm saying the same thing back, but I would have like written a song and then like later on looked at it and been like, wow, this is like way better than I can do. This song is smarter than I generally am. So it's, okay. So yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. Like there's the genius in the wall, and sometimes the genius in the wall comes out and helps you write the song. And then, you know, and I'm like, this song sounds, you know, these lyrics are as great as, you know, anything that I listen to. So I feel like, am I getting close to saying what you said?
So 100%. And then 100%. And then other times you're like, genius in the wall, where are you?
Yeah. I've had that. Yes. I've had that too. Oh my God. Sitting down to write a song and just writing the most moronic garbage, yeah, and like just wadding up pieces of paper and throwing it in the trash and being like, what's wrong with me? Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. I get it. I totally get it. It's you need the genius in the wall. Sometimes comes out. And I guess the reason why to me it seemed foreign is I don't write a lot of, or, you know, like I said, I haven't written any scripts. It's the idea of writing for multiple people at the same time and having all of their perspectives and point of view in your mind at the same time and making it work and making it not sound like one person's thinking. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think the thing about that is that I also teach screenwriting in Los Angeles too. So I talk about this a lot with the folks that I work with, is like, your first draft is crap. Like I call all my first drafts of any script that I write a vomit draft, because the idea is you kind of set the intention of I'm going to write it and I'm going to get it done. And I know it's going to be shit, so that you kind of like absolve yourself of the idea of getting it right or perfection. Cause you know, like perfectionism kills creativity. Right.
Yeah.
So it's easier to just like fix something that exists than to never have done it. And so, yeah, you don't certainly, in my experience, I'm sure there's maybe writers who are like better than me and are geniuses themselves. You know, you do that first draft and all those voices are sharp and all those voices are clear and those points of view are all super clear. But I think you map that out in your brain, you map that out in the work you're pre-writing, and then you don't necessarily execute it the first time. But luckily, you've got drafts and drafts and drafts to do. So that, you know, one draft, you just focus on mom, like in this movie, right? Like I would, when I got into polishing it, like I went through and just did a draft where I just focus on mom's point of view, just focus on dad's, Julian's, and really made sure that they were all felt full in their own way. But that's just like a matter of writing and writing and writing and writing.
Yeah. So there's layers and layers.
Yeah.
I just got a huge takeaway from that. So I'm going to be very, very pleased, because that's one of my, one of my many, many, many pitfalls for me, mm-hmm, in life is there'll be something I want to do, and if I'm not good at it right away, if I don't get it right the first time, I'm like, fuck this, I don't want to do this. And that's clearly not the way to write a screenplay. So everyone who wants to write a screenplay, you're listening, you gotta do more than one take.
Yeah, totally. You know what's so funny? I'm totally the same way. And I think, like, without sounding like patting myself on the back too much, a lot of the times I am good at a lot of things. So if I'm not good at something, I'll kind of write off a hop, then I'm like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
Yeah.
Like I remember my mom tells a story where like the first time I went skating, I thought I was going to, you know, be able to like be a skating star. And I obviously fell down a bunch and it went badly. And I was like, God, I wish skating had never been invented, which was, you know. But yeah, no, for screenwriting, it's also, the thing about it too, is it's like anything, right? It's like screenwriting is a craft. And so it takes time. Like you would, you know, a woodworker takes years to develop the ability to like make beautiful furniture. Nobody makes their first chair and it's a flawless piece of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing with writing it. Like the more you do it, the better you get. And literally it's by doing it that you get better. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No, and you, just One last analogy, then I'll stop the analogy train here. But yeah, when you said the skating thing, it reminded me of the first time I ever went snowboarding. I was so excited. I was like, I wanted to go so bad. And I got there and it was hard. And I sucked at first. And it pissed me off because I was like, I shouldn't suck at this. I should be great at this. And it took me forever to get down to the, bottom of the mountain. I was like, wait a second, does snowboarding suck? Do I not like this? And it took me a minute. I had to think about it though. And it was fortunately, it was something I wanted so bad that I was willing to, go down it. You keep going down that hill, eventually it's fucking awesome and it's fun and you're good at it. So there's
So
a yeah. That's how a screenplay gets written, guys. You go down the
it's
hill, take your falls, take your spills, and then you get a payoff.
And you do. I think the thing, I heard somebody say this once that I think is totally true. Like, it's creativity is like it's a circle, right? And at the top of the circle, it's always like, oh my God, I'm a god among men. This is the best piece of writing that's ever been done. And then you go down and you're like, oh shit, this is a pile of shit. This is awful. Oh fuck, I hate this. This is the worst thing ever. Oh, actually, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe, and so you kind of are always going in these loops,
Hell yeah, man. So moving a little bit away from just like the film itself, but to what you're doing right now, I am sad to say that I have never been to a film festival, and
Oh,
I'm sure there are certain people whose jaws are dropping at this revelation. But but the question is, how are you liking hitting the film festival circuit, showing this movie to audiences? How's this like? What's going on, man? Is it cool? Is it exciting?
it's been super great. I think too, like, the fun thing about this is it's a comedy, you know what I mean? And so we shot the film a year ago. And then, or like a little over a year ago, and then we edited it for a really long time, and then we were in post and score and adding all those things and polishing and polishing and polishing. So I've been really close to it for a year, just kind of like with my nose really close to it. And I wrote it and I know all the things. And so, it just stops being funny to me, and all I can see are the problems with it and the things that don't work. And the great thing about going to these festivals has been sitting in a theater. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can fix. There's nothing I can change. It is what it is. And audiences have been laughing. They're like laughing a ton, like from beginning to end, just kind of nonstop laughs. And people have been really enjoying it. And coming up afterwards and being like, God, I love that so much. And everybody's kind of said similar, or there's a similar response to it that's been really great, which is like, I laughed so much, and then I was kind of grossed out, and then I was really like, I was touched and moved, and which is exactly what I was hoping for. So it's been awesome. It's been awesome. I think it's always fun to share your work with an audience, but I think with a comedy in particular, it's just like so much better in a theater full of people, because the laughs roll, people feed that laughter feeds off of each other, and it's a whole other thing. So it's been great.
Oh man, so I watched it alone. I kind of wish I'd watched it with some people because I always do laugh a lot more with homies around, like just
Yeah,
that's just
we all do. It's just the way
yeah
that it
yeah
is.
it's how humans are. But you got some good laughs. I mean, especially when Pete finally leaves with the cop and he's like comes back in, and because he finds out nobody likes him, and he comes back in and he goes, I just want to let you know, Jennings, he's like all of you acting weird, you don't like me. He's like, well, you remember Pete's the one that got rid of the fucking pigs, and then slams the door. Good fucking scene.
Yeah,
All
Ezod's great. Ezod, who plays Pete, really,
right.
it's super funny.
Grew on me as a character. Caden, I got something to tell you, man. We are getting dangerously close to the lightning round.
Okay. Oh shit.
So let me explain to you the lightning round. It goes like this. I ask you a series of questions. You don't have any time to don't. No intellectualizing it. No, it's not cerebral. It's all gut reactions. And
Great.
some of the questions, so I don't write the lightning round ever. So
Fun.
I don't know what I'm going to read you before. Look, check this out. This is on notebook paper. This is
I love that.
from co-producer Colleen. She wrote this specifically for you.
Oh shit.
I'm going to tell you what it is, and then we'll figure out how it's going to be done. Every single one is different. Some people get
Okay.
hard ones. Some people get easy ones. This one is called Make It or Break It, Family Activities.
Okay. Great.
All right, so the question is going to be, is it more likely to bring a family together or break a family apart?
Oh, I love
Okay,
this.
and then there's a series of family activities. Sadly, you only have one choice. So you're going to have to just just put your finger on the scale one way or the other, just and
Make it or
say make it or
make
break
it
it.
make
And
it or
it
break.
because look, I'm actually looking at this. A lot of these already seem ambiguous, but that's not your job. Your job here
No.
is to just make it or break it.
Great.
Ready?
I love it.
All right, you ready to
And I don't get to
play?
justify my answer. I just go with my gut.
You can if you feel if the genius in the wall wants to help you justify your answer, then I would totally do that. But
Okay.
if you're also free to just say no, I said make it, and that's what I fucking stand by. Deal
Great.
with
I love it. I love it.
it. All right, first one. Board games.
Oh, break it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I like board games, but
I
yeah,
do too.
it's a break it. It's a break.
I love
It's
board games, but some of the biggest fights in my life have been over board games.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh man. I had a recent family board game situation. I'm not even gonna get into it, but let's just say I was infuriated. All right, next one. Road trip.
Make it.
Yeah, make it.
Yeah, make
Yeah.
it. Yeah, I feel like I've got really good memories of road trips with my family.
Yeah. We're
Yeah.
gonna make it after. All
After.
right. Back to school shopping.
Break it.
That's a break it. It's
That's a break it.
a break it. 'Cause
Yeah.
your mom's gonna be like, I want you to look nice. And you'll be like, no, I want to look cool. So
Yeah,
that's a
totally.
break, fucking
And then
break it right there.
there's also like, but I want that. And your parents are like, we cannot afford that. What are
Yeah.
you talking about?
Yeah. And then you break them.
Yeah.
This one is, oh, this is here we're getting pretty deep here, man. Thanksgiving.
I'm gonna say make it. I'm gonna say make it.
I would go with make it too, even
Yeah.
though every year it's like such a trope and such a kind of cliche for people to be like, oh no, Thanksgiving. This is the only time of the year that I want to cut my own head off. And it's like, is it really though? Is it that bad? I'm sure
Yeah, no.
for some people, I'm sure it is, but you know.
We lo I mean I love the holidays with my family. So like I'll say this. For my family, it's a make it, but I acknowledge that for many people, it's a break it. But it just
Yeah.
happens to be for me specifically, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Some people, they might have their own genius in the wall that's like, it is a bracket. Sorry.
Yeah, totally.
That's gonna be a new phrase that people around me are gonna hear for quite a while. Just letting you know. The Grand Canyon.
I don't even know what that is, the Grand Canyon.
The
Oh,
Grand
well,
Canyon.
I think you said the brand, as I was like, there's a brand canyon, the Grand Canyon. I'm gonna say make it. I feel like that's a make it.
The Grand Canyon, I've never been, but it seems like it would be really cool.
Yeah, totally. I've never been either, but I feel like that would be a fun thing to do with his family.
In the future, it would be like the when it becomes the Brand Canyon, it'll be like once like corporations have like gotten to the point where they can just cover the entire Grand Canyon in
Just like
billboards and
in
holograms.
advertisements. Yeah, totally.
Oh man, let's hope that day never comes. TV dinners.
Make it.
Love it. Football.
No, that's a make it. That's a make it.
That's a make it.
No, I think so, yeah. I have really good memories of like going to football games with my family and
Okay, cool.
but I also like, I mean, I will be honest, sports, I'm not the biggest sports guy.
I would say, it's not a break it because it's like even if you don't like it, it's not like horrible. It's not like
No.
it's not a root canal. Okay.
No, and even and arguing about it and fighting about it, I
That's
think that
more
helps.
of a it's more of a make it because
It's
you're
more of a
like
make it.
more
Yeah.
bonding.
You're
All right.
engaging about it. Yeah.
Go football. Yeah, go
Oh,
football. Next one, Target.
that's a break it.
Target is Target's a break
I
it.
think like Target, IKEA, Walmart, I think those are all those like that whole category of store, that's a break it. That's a break it.
When I was a kid, if my mom went to Target, I would go, I'm gonna sit in the car until you
Yeah.
get back out. Because I was like, I'm not following you around Target for 2 hours. I would sit in the car and listen to music. I mean, I guess 2 hours. You're a kid. I don't know how long she was in there, but when I was a kid, I was just like, I'm gonna sit in the car and listen to the radio. All right.
Yeah. That's also a break it for a marriage. All of those are also, that's also a break it for marriage as well, I would just say.
Yeah, because there's always one person who likes Target and one who doesn't.
Or IKEA. IKEA, I feel like you go in loving each other and you come out with divorce papers every time.
I've never been to an IKEA.
What? You've never been to an IKEA?
We don't have one here.
Oh man, don't go. It's that's great.
Okay, I
That's
won't.
great. That's good for you.
Yay. All right, last one. Therapy.
Oh, that's a make it.
I am a huge supporter of therapy, so I'm gonna agree with you on make it. All
Yeah,
right.
I think that's a make it
Well, I've got
for
good
sure.
news. You won the lightning round. You are the
Hey,
winner.
do I get a trip to Grand Canyon? The Grand
You
Canyon?
get a trip to the Brand Canyon.
Yeah.
Kate, I've got one last question for you, but it's the most important question of the day. It's
Amazing.
bigger than any other question, and it is, how can people find you, follow you, and in the future, how can they see mother, father, sister, brother, Frank?
That's great. Well, so you can see we're the next festival we're playing is at the Calgary Underground Film Festival. It's next Friday, June 20. Nope, that's not June. That's April 26th. And then we have a couple other festivals that we can't say anything about them yet. That's the way that it works, right? It's like they want to announce it. So we have a few things lined up, a bunch of things kind of lined up over the spring and the summer. That if you follow me at Caden Douglas 82 on Instagram or Little Bull Productions on Instagram or Highball TV on Instagram. Those are all, that's me. And then those are the companies that made the movie. And we will be absolutely flooding your inbox and your screens with places where you can see it. So we'll be getting the word out for sure. And then in the fall, again, this is something, this is so, it's fun to come on and be like, I can't say anything about anything, but the movie will be going out, not just to film festivals in the fall. It'll be having a wider release after that.
Cool. Well, guys, if you can make it and see it like in the theater, obviously that's the most fun way to do it. But if you gotta wait for streaming, you gotta wait for streaming.
Yeah.
Caden, man, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, man. It was my pleasure.
Or as they say in Canada, I bid you adieu.
They say sorry, sorry, sorry,
Sorry, I bid you adieu.
sorry.